Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No one has bigger dreams than Nacho.
When you are a man, sometimes you wear stretchy pants. He's for fun.
But to become a champion,
I would like that kind of respect.
He'll need strength, speed, and style.
And now, hammer them!
The orphans, they need me.
He'll become their hero. From the director of Napoleon Dynamite and the writer of School of Rock, Jack Black. Nacho Libre.
That didn't hurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Patreon Watch. This is where Timbo and Guy Guy get a film selected by the good people on patreon.com/TWIOAT. If you're hiffing through to us, $10 or more, you get to be part of the Deciders Club and see what we're going to watch. I tell you what, not a lot of heat this week, Guy Montgomery, on the voting.
Oh, well, there you go. That's probably how we wound up in such dire straits as we have. I don't know if this was thrown to us as a life raft or some sort of mercy offering, but I have just endured, as I know you have, Tim, the 2006 film, the follow-up to the very popular Napoleon Dynamite by director and writer Jared Hess and his partner in crime and life, Jerusha Hess, Nacho Libre. Is that, am I saying that correctly?
Nacho's Libre.
Yep, that works too. Nacho Libre. I'm displaying the same amount of care and delicacy to the Spanish language as the filmmakers and actors did.
Libre from memory means free, and I don't know where, what, I mean, what is it, what's the title? I don't even know.
His name was Nacho. No, his name's Ignatius.
Was it?
Exactly. His wrestling name is Nacho, perhaps.
I've just watched the film and I can't even verify if that's true. This was a Nickelodeon movie. This was, of course, made before the global financial crisis, where a plucky young 18-year-old still living at home could walk into a bank with his promise of a first payslip, not even a payslip, and walk out of there with a Bank of New Zealand Visa credit card loaded up with $12,000 of debt facility. People were throwing money all over the place. And, of course, Napoleon Dynamite had done very well at the cinema. They thought, yeah, blank check, go for it, guys. Jack Black's a bankable star.
It was a different time, actually. That's one question I was wondering is, where does this fit into Jack Black's sort of oeuvre, you know, his filmography? Because I feel like he might have been on a downward trajectory at this point. No, not at all, actually. He was still regarded as a bankable star. He's appearing in this on the back of King Kong, which he'd appeared in 2005. And prior to that,
people bemoaned King Kong, though.
Yeah, I know, but it did well. Before that, School of Rock, Shallow Hell, I mean, High Fidelity. So this is peak Jack Black and maybe the beginning of the slippery slope towards mediocrity that we know and love him for today. The question I kept wondering, Tim, and have been dying to ask you, is Jack Black funny?
Oh, yeah. Credit where it's due. He's not like 1,000% in the bullseye of what I'm looking for in a comedian, but you know, you gotta recognize, game's gotta recognize game here. He's a fantastic physical performer, and there's a lot of things that on paper it looks like this really would have worked. A lot of physical comedy. We're giving Jack Black a few excuses to bust out into his songs, his improv comedy songs. And it feels like it should work, but it also just feels like no one's having a lot of fun in this film. It's got that same energy of Napoleon Dynamite, except it's sort of, it's like half a foot in, half a foot out.
Do you know,
there you had, I believe the young man's name was John Heder, and he was so awkward. So it was great. It was like we were all in.
Well, also, he was not a known entity, and so he had the opportunity to break out, and also it blurred the line between actor and character. Whereas in this one, when you've got a bankable star and you're just sort of watching Jack Black hammered up in a series of failed set pieces, it's hard to really sink your teeth into what you're watching. It was, I mean, in a word, I knew it was mediocre, but even then, this was seriously underwhelming. And while we're on the topic of 2006, Sim, I'd love to ask, you know, what a fella like you, $12,000 armed on the credit card, what must be around the ripe old age of 18, 19, what in God's name are you spending that money on?
I didn't realize that you had seen through the ruse and established quite so quickly that that exemplar in my story was myself, but yes, it was. Look, it was a scary time to be alive. The banks didn't really know what was going on. It had been a good 80 years since the last Great Depression, and I think they'd forgotten how money in the economy worked, to be honest. So I was just rolling around with this big dick credit card burning a hole in my wallet. Moved out of home promptly after that. Not using the debt per se, but using a job at the tax department to ferry me away from the nest, which is the same way that I got the credit card. It was a heady time to be alive. I was living with my mate Tom at the time, who was also working at another government department call centre. Days spent hating our jobs, nights spent filled with alcohol and rabble-rousing in central Wellington.
What's become of Tom today, do we know? Do we care to ask?
Tom's a father. I actually saw him on the weekend, visited his wee boy, and he is working on his own terms now, you better believe. He's in the private sector, and he's really kicking ass and taking names and making a human, or he's made one, you know. It's impressive stuff out there.
Credit where it's due. I feel like Tom's contribution to the construction of the human was limited to probably one, maybe up to 50 nuts. I would say, as always, credit is truly owed to the mother.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's fair, that's fair. But, you know, they're both keeping the wee boy alive. Hey, guy, could you give me a bit of a rapid fire? What happened in Nacho Libre?
So you've got Jack Black, or Nacho as we'll call him. He must be the titular Nacho. I don't know if it's his real name or his wrestling name, but he's Nacho. He is a monk who, since childhood, has had a real affinity for wrestling. I'm not sure of what the luchador, that's what it is. Luchador wrestling, which is sort of, you know, those famous face masks. You know, it's a Mexican style of wrestling, or, you know, certainly the theatrics are associated with Mexico, and he's got a real penchant for that. But he grows up to be a sort of lousy and destitute cook at the monastery, providing, you know, gruel grade meals for hungry boys who don't really respect him or the food he prepares. No one really seems to care for this guy at the monastery, and to be honest, it's pretty easy to see why. He's an uninspiring figure. He also refuses or just cannot speak in Spanish. I mean, the whole time I was thinking, either fucking put the movie in Spanish or don't make the movie.
Do or do not. There is no half Spanish.
Because, like, everyone else in the film, presumably, by the amount of talking they got to do and the accents, native Spanish speakers. Jack Black, the only one who's not. It really did, like, and this is part of it, like, the rules of the movie just weren't clear. It felt like the Hesses got their tails up after Napoleon Dynamite, watched a Wes Anderson movie and said, oh yeah, we'll do one of those, and just dropped the ball across, you know, just it was bad.
I didn't know when it was set originally, and that's always the risk with having sort of a storyline involving quite such a level of poverty as like a poor orphanage out in the middle of nowhere, is you got no points of reference for where and when we are.
Yeah, and it'd be fair to say...
When was the set?
It's not important. There's no phones, but I think it's meant to be timeless. This is regarded as an evergreen by the creators. But I don't think this movie would be made now. And also, I'm sorry, I just realized I didn't finish my plot synopsis, so I got sidetracked by complaining. Pretty much, a nun arrives at the monastery who he decides to fall in love with. She presumably is just faffing around while she also decides to fall in love with him throughout the film. He starts wrestling because he gets a bag of corn chips stolen for the orphans by not a hoodlum, but certainly, you know, a guy who's running around taking food from people. I guess he needs it. They form an unlikely duo as a wrestling pair. They're amateur wrestlers. They start getting paid even though they're losing. His aspirations get ahead of him. He wants to be a professional wrestler and win the heart of the nun and support the people at the monastery. I mean, that is the threadbare plot that we're given. And I can see what they're going for, where, like, if it's a simple story told well, it can be really quite engaging and satisfying, you know, like if the characterization or the performances or the script are rich enough, you know, simplicity can be a real virtue. But this just made for a very, very boring consecutive series of unfunny set pieces meandering towards something that I can't imagine anyone cared about. I don't think anyone involved in the filmmaking process really could have been too invested in the story, because it's just so light, L-I-T-E, a deliberate misspelling to convey how I feel.
Yeah, that really came across in how you pronounce the word light. You'd miss the G and the H there. I don't know, man. They were trying to build a thing. It's got a certain style to it. They didn't pull it off. It was just so nothing. I was kind of... Do you know who I was disappointed in? I was disappointed in the people who voted for us watching this, to be fair. And I don't think I've ever said that before, but you guys need to take a look at yourselves in the mirror and just establish who you are and what we're all here to do. This is a Nickelodeon movie. What kid watched this and was like, cool movie? Because there was no, like... It wasn't instructional enough on where we laughed. And for some reason, I thought it was directed by Jon Favreau. Let me just throw that in. I don't know why. I just thought it was.
No. Jon Favreau's sort of gone on to prove himself with these live adaptions of Disney films, The Jungle Book. And he did the Iron Man series as well.
He's doing The Lion King, right?
And he's doing The Lion King right now. I also don't know. I mean, I guess Jack Black fans would have watched the movie. Napoleon Dynamite fans would have watched the movie. It grossed $95 million, $99 million at the box office on a budget of $32 million. So it's a win. It wasn't a total flop. The tagline, which gives you a real insight into the movie-making process, he's not lean, he's not mean, he's nacho, average hero, which is a variation on the old street joke of what do you call someone else's cheese? Well, I don't know. It depends what sort of cheese it is.
I mean, did you just make that up then, or is this an established joke?
No, I gave it an alternative punchline. I thought you would have known. The punchline is nacho cheese.
Oh, okay. That's quite good. I like that. No, I haven't heard that one before. You can tell by how much I'm laughing, Guy. That's how much I like the joke.
One of my favorite things to experience as a comedian is when the recipient of the joke or the audience tell me that they like the joke, in spite of the fact that their tone and face have not shifted one jot from the pre-joke world.
I'm almost ready to close the book on talking about Nacho Libre. I don't think there's a lot to mine here, and this is coming from two gentlemen who managed to get a year out of Grown Ups 2, Sex and the City 2, and We Are Your Friends, for crying out loud. But the well is dry. It's a film that doesn't fail hard enough to be interesting and doesn't succeed in anything enough to be enjoyable on its own terms. So I'm going to lightly, Guy, unless you stop me, close the book on Nacho Libre. And I want to delve into Jack Black's prior career, if we may.
I would. I just, before you shut the book, I know that we can always reopen the book.
He's stuck a finger in.
I'd like to put my little finger in there, please. I would like to say that I agree wholeheartedly that it doesn't fail hard enough to be interesting. And that's also because the ambition was never enough for it to be anything interesting. It could never be a spectacular failure. It could only be a moderate, dissatisfying success.
I don't agree with that. It's weird enough that you could totally fuck it up. They competently made a film. It's there. It exists. You want to watch it? I mean, don't. I would say don't watch it, but, you know, it exists.
I'll tell you this, fine. Tim. when Jack Black first slapped the butt of the wrestler in their first wrestle, you know, I smiled.
Was that the maximum arousement that this managed to elicit from you?
Biggest reaction.
Good stuff. I remember seeing Shallow Hal, I'm pretty sure at the cinema, and that wasn't that good either. I feel like that is a film that probably wouldn't stand the test of time, I'd be tempted to say. Have you ever seen Shallow Hal?
I watched
the gorgeous and talented Gwyneth Paltrow, who is also just an absolute wealth of medical knowledge, that woman, who wonders barely ever sees.
Yeah, best known now, of course, is the author of the popular medical journal Goop, the very scientific name.
She was fucking trolling the whole time, eh? Like, she put the name right on the tin.
She still is trolling, Tim, and that's why people are angry. I saw Shallow Hal. I mean, that was the heyday of the Farrelly brothers. God knows what other movies they made. Shallow Hal, certainly, I think when you said might not stand the test of time, is a very generous estimation of just how poorly their movies play now. I remember laughing, though. I remember that George Costanza, or what's his name? Jason Alexander, had a tail in the film and thinking that was funny. And then there are other, like, the classic set pieces that they put in the movie, you know, like the basic gag that they play over and over is, you know, he thinks that he's dating Gwyneth Paltrow when really he's dating Gwyneth Paltrow in a fat suit. And even as I say it now, you can imagine the corners of my lips are turned upwards as I fondly reminisce on the comedy gold that was sown throughout the fields.
It's a bulletproof premise.
Yeah, I remember smiling along and laughing. I don't remember enjoying it. I don't remember rewatching it. But at that point, so this is, again, we're near the beginning of Jack Black's movie career. I don't know. He probably broke through television and stuff. High Fidelity, I sort of remember as being my introduction to him.
That was it. That was everyone's introduction to him, I think.
And it goes to...
What's his name? Cusack. John Cusack. Yeah, yeah. Banking on... he was sort of grabbing on the tail of John Cusack in that film. And I'll tell you what, Cusack is a man who I always underestimate. And whenever he pops up in something I'm watching, I'm like, you know what? John Cusack, fucking good actor.
Both the Cusacks, John and Joan, they are a joy to watch on screen.
I don't know Joan. What's she in?
I mean, there's no way. Did you see School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yep, sure did.
So Joan Cusack, I think she was like the headmaster or headmistress of the school that he... She's also... I don't know what she's best known for. I just remember as like a character actor who shows up and I'm always...
Oh my God, I didn't know this was... I've just looked her up, Guy, which is a great thing to do on a podcast. I can see her face now. She's very distinctive. You immediately know who you're dealing with when you look her up. I did not realize that they were siblings.
Yeah. The acting runs thick in the Cusack blood.
There's also an Anne. There's another sister.
Well, I know nothing of this Anne, but I assume that she's got chops. A real joy to work with. Real pro on set.
Guess who's on her Wikipedia? She was in Multiplicity, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, One Tree Hill, and some other stuff. Boston Legal, I watched that. Bones, she was in Fraser apparently. Ally McBeal, Criminal Minds.
A television actor. I'll bet you she gets absolutely fucking laid out at Thanksgiving. I mean, the residuals are fantastic, but, you know, when you're up against Joan and John, that's brutal. High Fidelity, I'd just like to quickly say, the reason that Jack Black probably shone in that film, I don't know how that movie's aged either. I remember reading the book and quite enjoying it a while ago after my first serious breakup. Unsurprising, seeing as the book's all about a dude confronting being, you know, breakups. But it goes to show, you know, it's so easy to steal the scene as the support, isn't it? It's that that difficult segue into being the leading actor, the leading person, the leading man or lady in Hollywood terms. That's the difficult transition. And I mean, Jack Black has successfully done this now. Think about Kung Fu Panda. He was fantastic in Kung Fu Panda. He's been cast in several successes and failures. I think Jumanji last year that he was in was really popular in the end. I guess that was The Rock's movie. But I remember that watching the trailer and being very skeptical. But that movie fucking blitzed it.
Kung Fu Panda as well. The thing that I kept reading about Jumanji was that it was way more enjoyable than it had any right to be, was the general consensus. But I didn't get along to it, unfortunately. I'll watch it at some point. But Kung Fu Panda, you've got a team and hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, digitally creating a great movie there. There's no denying the guy's got pipes. He's got a fantastic voice, not just in his sort of vocal range for his singing, but just his talking voice. It's so funny. He can do so many things with it. He's got like a rubbery face of a voice.
I remember listening to Tenacious D's comedy songs and laughing along again. I mean, God, the world turns around fast. But The Only Gay Eskimo, that was my portal into Jack Black. I now remember that was the first thing. And then the other one was Fuck Her Gently, which I actually brought the house down with Fuck Her Gently at a Montgomery family Christmas once. I did a full delivery of it, a cappella, the whole table, had grandma, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins in stitches.
God, is nothing sacred at the time of our Lord's birth, Guy Montgomery?
I mean, not if you've just heard Tenacious D's Fuck Her Gently and painstakingly remembered all of the lyrics.
Was there nary a sort of darting look at you or a hand gesture to maybe cut it out midway through? Everyone was on board? You had 100% hit rate there in the room?
Not everyone was on board, but it was that classic situation where you've got your key players laughing along and they're frustrated through the laughter, but they're laughing, which pretty much makes you feel invincible. And I mean, general consensus was keep going. Also, as I recall, this was probably around the time I'd been given carte blanche on saying the word shit. I had not yet graduated to fuck or any of its constituents. Yep.
It's like getting your pen license, isn't it?
It is. School. That is the teenage pen license. And then, I mean, other people were probably getting hand jobs or something in the bushes, but I'm sure that those memories aren't quite.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is vivid or positive as this rip-roaring performance of Fuck Her Gently. But, yeah, the guy, he was obviously funny and Kyle Gass or whatever. And then, I mean, I feel like you strike me as someone who would have been a huge Jack Black fan because you love music. You like it just feels like it's right in the fucking slot for you. Tell me I'm wrong.
Tenacious D was a huge hit among my pals at high school, and I was definitely into them as well. I remember there's one particular skit, I think, on the same album as Fuck You Gently, which is them going through a fast food chain, and it's Jack Black putting in his order. And I like that, for me, was one of the funniest comedy skits I'd ever heard.
I remember...
He orders a fucking truckload of items from a, is it a Carl's Jr. I think that he's out. And this was before New Zealand had a Carl's Jr. So this was some fabled American chain that I hadn't experienced. and is a big fast food fan. I was sort of enthralled with that right out the gates. And he keeps stacking things onto the order and then stresses that he wants a junior Western bacon chee because he's trying to watch his weight. And at the end orders a half and half Diet Coke because he's trying to watch the weight. And then Kyle Gass takes a brief moment of inhalation before he makes his order, and Jack Black starts laying into him for taking too long. It's a great skit. It's good stuff.
I remember now, as you say, I'm coming to in my head, I'm hearing the trying to watch my figure, trying to lose some of the weight.
That's where he says he orders a bunch of shit and he says, "Fuck me, what else?" And as someone who's a big fan of the F word, as a young man, that spoke directly to my heart. And I've used that line, I mean, countless times in my days walking this earth.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Jack Black's had way more of an impact on me than I sort of first realised.
Yeah, well, I think then you'd let on now. It's sort of like, it's the equivalent of, I don't know, what Blink 182 maybe, or they're possibly ironically cool again, but Sublime, you know, it really takes hold at the time. And then as you grow out of it, you sort of almost willfully disassociate yourself with it because you're like, oh, no. It's a valuable market. Like, it's the same with Sandler. I fucking went crazy for him. Sandler was a much bigger impact on me than Jack Black. Jim Carrey, arguably the biggest in terms of comedy actors. But it's just a different time. You're a different person, aren't you?
What do you feel about how Jim Carrey's landed now, as carving out a position as sort of a bearded elder statesman of the crazies?
Can I be honest with you? I worry about the guy. I watched his Norm Macdonald Live episode and it made me pretty uneasy. I kind of enjoyed his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, but like, and then you read some of the stuff, like he's had, he used to be married to Jenny McCarthy, who sort of is mostly known now as quite a vocal anti-vaxxer. I believe Jim Carrey is as well. There are certain elements of his later stages of his career that I'm wary of. I watched that documentary as well, but I still love the guy. He's actually about to be in I think it might be for Showtime, a TV series where he plays a Mr. Rogers type, wildly popular children's entertainer that loses his cool, or like, you know, has a mental breakdown. And that looks both perfectly cast and fucking watchable.
Yeah, that does look good. Did you see, we may have even spoken about it, but that mini documentary that popped up online of Jim Carrey's painting career these days? Dude's fucking good. He's making some good art out there.
Good on him, good for him. The only other thing I remember about him, and this is actually quite, it's quite grim. His partner, or an ex-partner of his, passed away. She took her own life, and the family are now after, they're sort of suing him for damages, mental damages. And
right, yeah, I remember that.
When I see that, when I see that in conjunction with the sort of quite, just like, too open-minded, you know, to the point of almost being closed-minded, like the idea that his brain's just moving in every direction all the time, that's the sort of thing that makes me feel a little uneasy about the guy.
I recall a saying from my childhood that I think came from my mum's side of the family, which was, it's important to have an open mind, but if your mind's too open, your brains fall out.
I like that. And I love
it's
to laugh.
It's true enough, isn't it?
I love to laugh, mate. I tell you, this I mean, Nacho Libre has really, while we might not be discussing the ins and outs of the film, it's really opened a door into some other stuff that certainly I'm vaguely interested in. I am interested in talking and hearing about. I don't know how it would be for the consumer, but you get what you pay
pretty
for,
good,
don't you?
I think. The thing is they handed us a bit of a turd this week, and that's fine. That's you know, the Deciders Club prerogative, but there are consequences to everyone's actions. I went to Mexico as a young boy. I think I was 17. I was either 16 or 17. And I'm pretty sure I've told this story before about how I got on there, so I won't bore you with the details again. But I remember getting some shit-hot luchador masks. They were the fucking best thing I bought in Mexico. Bringing those home, I tell you what a gift. What an absolute gift. Because you really can't get, like, good quality, hand-done wrestling masks here in New Zealand. You got to go overseas to get him. That might have changed now, I don't know. But back then, so good.
Any kid who went to on any holiday to a country with a remotely different culture and came back bearing gifts fucking ruled the playground. I remember a friend of mine named Kirk would go to Hong Kong and come back with fucking fake Oakleys and Rolexes out the wazoo. And that boy ruled the roost, you know, for the 2 weeks after he'd get back from his big trip to Hong Kong. Eventually, he became quite an aggressive capitalist and started hawking them for way above their reasonable price. He also added...
Fantastic.
He also added those fake Ralph Lauren polo shirts. You know, the really acrylic ones that would hold your adolescent sweat in them. Gee whiz. But I can imagine you showing up after the big trip to Mexico with high-quality masks. Holy heck, Tim.
They were very expensive and not to be trifled with, though. They weren't for pals. It was for the very close-knit. It was for sort of family members and maybe besties. But it didn't extend beyond that circle. I'm about to go to Vietnam quite soon for my honeymoon, Guy. And I had a
Are you looking forward to appropriating some of their culture, Tim?
In Vietnam?
Yeah.
No. But I do want to get maybe some fake Rolexes, because I remember a schoolyard chum of mine going to Vietnam and coming back with a bag full of fake luxury watches, which is not traditionally how they're sold. I don't think Rolexes are
sold by the bag
full.
It shows what you know about the world of high finance and nice watches, because all respectable watch brands sell by the bag now. No one's hawking individual watches. The margins are too low.
It's a weight thing. I'll have 600 grams of Rolex, please.
Absolutely. Tim, I'd just like to quickly put a pause on this conversation. Alice is in the room. I think she's packing to leave. So I'm just going to say farewell.
So what the listener won't know, you, dear listener, is that Alice Sneddon has been staying with Guy and just had to leave. So Guy just had to nip out to say goodbye because he's a charming young man.
Yeah, I'm a good guy. I also got some chocolate out of the fridge at that time. If you can hear me chewing.
Well, this is where you've got to explain what's going on. That'd be an absolute nightmare for continuity. Just all of a sudden, guys chewing on something.
You know me, Tim. I chew when I have to, how I want to.
How do you reckon Jack Black's going for cash these days, Guy? Do you think he's going okay? Because I can't remember what his... like. I guess the Kung Fu Panda franchise is one of those ones where you're probably getting checks in the mail quite frequently. It's that sort of
Dude,
a franchise.
School of Rock is massive, and I really enjoyed that. Moreover, Jumanji, his second build on the poster, that film with a budget of $90 million, grossed $961 million. That's almost a $1 billion film.
Jesus.
So the guy's still got it, you know. And the thing is that it's almost not like it's one for them, one for me with him. It's just like, I'll make them all for them, and some of them will work and some of them won't.
Nacho Libre could have been one for him. I think it's conceivable that he sort of harbored a desire to play a friar come Mexican wrestler. I reckon that's definitely could have been in the pantheon of things he wanted to do with his career.
That feels like one for... it feels like a measured move. It felt like it could be one for everyone. One for him and for everyone.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah?
His fighting... his mate, his compadre, whose name I never took the care to remember, I must apologise, but the man who steals the nacho chips off him early on in the film and then they forge a wrestling duo friendship.
Yeah.
Is that Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite? Because he looks kind of like him, but not really like him. And then with you saying that it's the Napoleon Dynamite guys, I was starting to put those two things together. So I was like, I've seen this cat in something else. I was thinking it the whole movie. Couldn't place him.
Nah, you'll probably best remember him for playing the role of a clerk in the very popular film Wild Hogs.
Is that John Travolta and Tim Allen on motorbikes?
Not just them. Also, Martin Lawrence and William H. Macy got a spot on the poster.
William H. Macy, what are you doing, bud?
He does
make good stuff.
He does whatever he wants. No, he wasn't. He was not. He was not Pedro. So you've added yourself as, mildly racist given the circumstance.
Oh, God. Is it, though, or am I just bad at guessing who people are? I didn't know that Joan Cusack was John Cusack's sibling.
Yeah, you're so misogynist.
Does that make me racist against white people? I don't know. Maybe.
No, that makes you sexist, Tim. The rap sheet against you grows from strength to strength.
I'm going to have to join the Rat King underground, forge my own existence in a subterranean landscape.
Hey, I got a fun bit of trivia for you about Nacho Libre, which 24 out of 24 users found interesting.
Okay.
You know the song that Jack Black sings at the party when they crash the party?
Improvised?
You're kind of stepping on my punchlines here.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Entirely improvised. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear that. That's really surprising and an interesting fact. I can't believe 24 people thought that was even something worth voting on, to be honest. Of course it was. Fuck. Yeah.
Well, now you know. So it's interesting. Is that stuff that
what
you
other
probably,
facts are in there?
You probably wouldn't think about if you didn't know. The anticipation of the popularity of this film meant that it was sent to theatres under the codename Toast.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Were they afraid someone was going to steal the projection tapes? I don't understand why you'd need to codename a movie, getting it into the cinema.
Look, man, it's a crazy world out there that I wouldn't expect you to understand everything about. Hey, this one is actually kind of interesting. I mean, to the tune of 53 out of 54 users. During filming... Okay. Jack Black recorded a series of confessionals, which were uploaded onto the internet as video podcasts available from iTunes. They became one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
Huh. Well, how about that?
Hey, you like that,
didn't
you?
That I do find interesting. I would like to see this content. I'll bet it's good. He'd be fucking good on a podcast, actually, Jack Black.
Have you seen his appearance on the Eric Andre show?
I have, and I loved it. I thought he did pretty well considering the circumstances. A lot of birds shitting on him.
What else
did they do to him?
Uncomfortable viewing. It's just like, you know, I guess that's part of the show, but it's hard to tell how in on the joke the guests are. And because,
They're not at all. He was definitely not in on the joke. No one ever is on that show. It's what I love about it.
Well, that's just, you know, like... I guess, you know, nothing's sacred on that show, but it sort of broke my heart to see someone who I revered and has been and maybe still is revered within the comedy community be treated with such, like, not disdain, like that's what this show does, but just, you know, it's kind of semi-heartbreaking.
Nah, I think that's great. Fuck your reverence, especially with comedy people. If anyone should not be put on a pedestal, it's comedy people, you know? Take them down a peg. It's such a good show. It's probably my favorite TV show, the Eric Andre show.
It's
wild.
It's very funny, but I find it harder when I see him doing it to a comedian, if only because, I don't know, actually, that's an interesting point you raise. I just was like, oh, you poor bastard, Jack Black. You don't need to be doing this. The other people, it feels like they haven't earned a successful career independent of the show to the point that this is not above them. But with Jack Black, I was like, man, you're doing fine.
What, he must have been in there to promote something, right? Otherwise, how would they get it? Although Eric Andre had sort of developed into a bit of a star in his own right, so maybe they were just able to say, Eric Andre's doing a show, you should come in and be on it, and then went from there.
I can believe that.
You know, part of the reason why I love the Eric Andre show so much is because he got heavy inspiration from Space Ghost Coast to Coast, which will always be my favorite TV show ever made. There's no taking the place of that. A lot of it, heavily inspired his show.
Yeah, and I know that you're a big Space Ghost guy. There's actually a Twitter account I found the other day, which is just, you know, they do all those no-context different posts. There's a no-context Space Ghost, which you'd love because it would trigger memories for you of your favorite show.
I'll jump in on that for sure. Guy, what is left to say about the... I feel like this hasn't been perhaps the greatest contribution to the internet that we've ever produced in our lives. So in an attempt to pull back up right here at the end, I'd like to play a little game with you.
Yeah, by all means. By the way, I think this has been fine. By the standards of some of our other releases, I think this is almost too comprehensible.
Oh, okay. I'm going to throw a word at you, and then you're going to construct a poem based on the word.
Okay.
Leaf.
Leaf blowing downwind. Where are you going, little leaf? I'm going home, said leaf. It was a haiku.
Yeah, was it though? I was counting along with you because I sort of, based on your pace, got wind of what you were doing there. It felt like there was an 8 in the middle and I think a 6 at the end.
I just quietly like to say, no, you're wrong. Go F yourself. And I don't know, I can't remember what I said exactly, but I'm sure that I'll be vindicated by the listeners as they have the faculty to rewind immediately and hear the perfect 5-7-5 format adhered by one of the world's preeminent haiku poets, Mr. G. Montgomery. Tim.
Poet laureate.
I would like a limerick from you, please. On the theme.
Yeah, on the theme.
Of ink.
Of what?
Ink. One of the most vital contributions to our earth. Ink.
There once was a man from New Zealand who had a book full of fuck. Harder than it looks, isn't it?
What rhymes with Zealand?
No, I've got no concept. I was going to say penguin, but it doesn't work.
Neelan almost rhymes with Zealand. I'd let you away with it.
There once was a man from America who travelled very near and very far to fill up his book with ink and good luck, and eventually he... Fuck. Limericks are a difficult little format.
Yeah, you really tape it out there. Give me a word and I have a punt. We should probably put a pit in this. I mean, who wants to listen to this? Yeah, this is garbage. Absolute garbage.
Look, the theme is to round off this, our greatest contribution to our podcast collection so far, Guy, to round off this golden episode, you're going to perform a limerick on the theme of clothes.
A lady asked me where my clothes are from. I told her I got them from the store.
Do go on.
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Literally perfect. Nailed the landing. Just gorgeous stuff.
Gorgeous stuff.
Thank you so much for sticking around, everyone, for the couple who did. And we're going to watch some more of these movies. I think we got to get back into the old director's commentary. It's just a little bit hard to do so when Guy and I are at different places. I tell you what, talking to someone when there is a lag of about 3/4 of a second, it'll fuck you up a little bit more than you think. It's just a little bit tricky to get a handle on it.
Absolutely. How do you think I feel? Constantly being the thickest person, I can't even say the word, in any conversation. So, you know, I've always got that 75.75 of a second lag. Life's tough. Life can be tough.
Add it together and Guy is operating 1.5 seconds behind me. It's crazy stuff, if you can think of something such a thing. So thank you for sending us Nacho Libre.
It's crazy stuff,
We wish you all the best. And highly recommend, if you haven't already, check out Overlooked and Undercooked, which was our podcast mini-series where we watched the entire first season of Real Rob Schneider's attempt to shake up the television industry with his self-funded, directed and starring and written sitcom that's on Netflix. We had a different guest comedian for every episode, and it's good stuff out there. It's free to get. You just go and grab it. Overlooked and Undercooked. Until next time, Guy, you want to leave us on any pearls of wisdom?
No, I'm pretty all right, actually. thankful to be done with the Nacho Libre conversation. You got anything to say?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, as pearls of wisdom, don't eat pearls.
Nacho Libre.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.